بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بسيدنا ومولانا أمير المؤمنين، وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره بين يدي الإمام المنصور المؤيد المهدي من آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وقال الرسول: يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning the Quran of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. Allahumma salli Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Is one of the most fascinating discussions within Islamic thought. And indeed a discussion that has received very little attention when one examines Islamic history. Indeed, you find if you were to ask many people about the Quran of Imam Ali, there are very few who know anything about that Qur'an. And therefore, this is a topic that requires a thorough analysis, for the repercussions of this topic are both historical as well as theological. As we know, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen has an unbelievable relationship with the Qur'an. When you examine Sunni and Shia literature, you find that the Imam has a number of traditions in which he is extolled for his relationship with the Qur'an. The famous tradition narrated within the books of Ahlul Sunnah and Tashayyu', where the Holy Prophet says that Ali is with the Qur'an and the Qur'an is with Ali. Likewise, you find, for example, within Sufi tradition, Ali ibn Abi Talib is seen as being the dot under the ba of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That for a person to understand the Qur'an, one of the only ways in which they can understand its essence is through him. Even he himself, in many of his statements, you find him making it clear that he's the only one who has knowledge of the Qur'an after the Prophet from all its angles. You find him in one sermon clearly saying, "Ask me before you lose me. I ask me about the book of Allah. I know about every verse, whether it was revealed in the daytime or in the night, on the mountains or on the plain land." In other words, you find that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is hardly ever separated from the Qur'an. And that's why the discussion concerning his Qur'an is a fundamental discussion. Why? If you were to ask many Muslims about his Qur'an, many would turn around to you and say, "What do you mean the Qur'an of Ali? There's only one Qur'an, and that's the Qur'an of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Without a doubt, within Islamic literature, there is more than enough evidence that while the Qur'an we have with us today is without a doubt the Qur'an that was left by the Holy Prophet, There was another Quran which was being supervised by the Prophet and written by Amir al-Mu'mineen. That Quran is the Quran which is included in Sunni and Shia literature. That you found that even years after Amir al-Mu'mineen had passed away, a number of prominent disciples had mentioned the Quran of Ali. For example, Muhammad bin Sirin is a known tabi'i, a known member of the generations after the companions. Muhammad bin Sirin lived until 110th year after Hijrah, meaning that he lived for 100 years after Rasulullah. He says, I wish that I had the transcript of the Quran of Ali ibn Abi Talib. For there is so much wisdom to be gained from that transcript. Someone turns around and says, what do you mean the transcript of the Quran of Ali ibn Abi Talib? We have the transcript of the Quran of Allah. What is the transcript of the Quran of Ali ibn Abi Talib? If you were to study many of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah and the scholars of the Shia, many of them point to the fact that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib had compiled his own Quran. And that Rasulullah had asked him to compile this Quran as a supplement to the Quran that we have with us today. If you were to read, for example, Fath al-Bari, fi sharh Sahih al-Bukhari of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, or if you were to read, for example, Al-Sawa'iq al-Muhraqa of Ibn Hajar al-Haythami, or if you were to read Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran of Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti, or if you were to read Sheikh al-Mufid or Allama al-Majlisi's works, especially Mufid within Awa'il al-Maqalat, or if you were to read Kitab Sulaym as an old textbook, you'll find all of them discuss the fact that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, for a certain period after Rasulullah, stayed in his house to compile his own Quran. And that this Quran would be used as a supplement to the Quran that we have today. However, for all the lovers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, if you were to ask them on a night like the 21st night of Ramadan, did you ever know that there was a Quran of Ali? Many will turn around and say, to tell you the truth, we never knew. As in, we know that there's a Quran of Allah. But what's the Quran of Ali? Do you know that the discussion concerning the Quran of Imam Ali opens an unbelievable number of avenues as to the oppression which Al-Muhammad faced after Rasulullah died? Many times when we hear about the oppression that Imam faced, that his wife faced, that their children faced, normally it's from the angle of Saqifa, or normally it's from the angle of Fadak, or normally it's from the angle of the door. One of the angles which highlighted that the community was not interested in Ali ibn Abi Talib and wanted to ostracize his knowledge is this issue. That if ever you want to know how the Muslim community neglected Ali ibn Abi Talib after Rasulullah died, then look at the issue of the Quran of Ali ibn Abi Talib. That Quran, which many of those people in Saudi Arabia, many of them accuse us, they say, you are those who have the Quran of Ali. No, we don't. That Quran is with the 12th Imam at present. But that Quran of Ali, without a doubt, we believe in it. We believe in it as a supplement of the Quran. And it was rejected by the Muslims because of certain content some of them could not handle. What that content is, I'll examine tonight in complete depth. Let's examine the Quran of Ali ibn Abi Talib in the following stages. Number one, in which order did Ali ibn Abi Talib write his Quran? Number two, what was it about the margins of the pages that made certain people wary of the verses which he had bought? Number three, did Umar come to Ali about the Quran? And what did Imam reply to him when he wanted a copy of it? Number four, did Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib ever reply using the Quran in the 25 years when he was not Khalifa? Or did he distance himself completely? And number five, why was that same Quran which Rasulullah left behind on a spear on the day of Siffin, and how did the people neglect Imam's knowledge on that day? And number six, who from Siffin made the Khawarij at Nahrawan, and how did Ibn Muljam emerge from them? Let's examine this and seek to dissect the topic in depth. Ali ibn Abi Talib's Quran, what was unique about it on the first level, was something which helped many people understand the flow of the religion of Islam. In which way? The first clear sign of the Quran of Amir al-Mu'mineen, something extremely clear for everyone to follow, was that it was a Quran collected in a chronological order. What do we mean? The Quran we have with us today is not a chronological order, is it? When you look at the Quran, which you read at home today, is it in chronological order or no? It's impossible that it's in chronological order. Why? Because if it's in chronological order, then the first surah of the Quran should be which one? Alaq, correct or no? If the first surah to be revealed to our holy prophet was what? اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. That first surah, surah Alaq, was the first surah to be revealed. The first surah in the Quran we have with us today is which one? Fatiha. You find therefore that the Quran which we have at home with us today is not in chronological order. Surah Al-Fatiha is number one. Number two is which one? Baqarah. Number three is which one? Al-Imran. Number four is which one? Nisa. Number five is which one? Ma'idah. Number six is which one? Everybody suddenly becomes quiet in the Shia world. That's the problem, as in without a doubt, if you go to the Shia, all of them think they're holy and glorious and angelic, and all of them are going to Jannah. Wallah, after Surah 5, everybody goes missing in the Shia world. Number 6, An'am. Number 7, A'raf. Number 8, Anfal. Number 9, Tawbah. Number 10, Yunus. This is a resolution you should make in the month of Ramadan, that I abandon the Quran. Yes, look in the mirror and say, I abandoned. I don't even know the name of the first 10 surahs of the Quran. Yes? And I want to be raised with the Quran I put on my head tonight, correct? Sometimes Rasulullah is right when he says, you know, there are some of us, we've neglected the Quran. Rasulullah says, when the Quran, there'll be a day when it does la'na on the ones who read it. Why? Because there are those who neglect it. You find that the Quran we have with us today, the first 10 surahs are no way chronological. Surah 1, Fatiha. Number 2, Baqarah. 3, Al-Imran. These aren't chronological. Fatiha is Meccan, Baqarah is Medinian, Al-Imran Medinian, Nisa Medinian, Ma'idah Medinian. Therefore, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he had compiled the Quran, Rasulullah had known there'd be a day when Muslims would be uncertain. As to what? There'd be a day when they'd be asking questions about certain ayat and when they were revealed. So Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, under the supervision of Rasulullah, Rasulullah ordered him to write a Quran in chronological order. When someone says write a Quran in chronological order, what would the Quran of Imam Ali have as his chronology? What would be surah number 1? Alaq. Number 2? Qalam. Number 3? Muzzammil. Number 4? Mudathir. Number 5? Fatiha. Number 6? Masad. Number 7? Takweer. Number 8, A'la. Number 9, Layl. Number 10, Feel. Number 11, Duha. That's the order of the surahs as they were revealed, isn't it? As in, if you think about it logically, it works perfectly. If you think about those surahs logically, those surahs without a doubt work perfectly. At the beginning, I tell you to read. After that, I tell you to go, get up and warn. Who's my first enemy? My uncle. Happens in many a family. You find that Abu Lahab, without a doubt, was an early enemy to him. When we think about the Quran, have a relationship with the Quran, not just by reading it from cover to cover. Rather think, hold on a minute. I know the Prophet announces his prophethood. He's a prophet for 13 years in Mecca, 10 years in Medina. That means any surah which has Medinian content must be later. But a surah which has Medinian content must be early. Correct or no? That's why Surah Masad or Surah Lahab is number 6 in the order of chronology. Why? I'm a prophet of God. I announce the message. Who's my first enemy when I announce the message? My uncle Abu Lahab. Correct or no? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Rasulullah told him, Ali, write the Quran in chronology. Why? So that later on when Muslims are reflecting about the history of Mecca and Medina, your Quran can be a good guide to them as to how Allah was guiding them day after day. Correct or no? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when an incident occurs, he sends an ayah of the Quran. If I read the Quran chronologically, I'll be a bit confused because I'll be thinking, hold on, Fatiha, then Baqarah, then Al-Imran. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, if I was to read in that way, I'll be confused. So Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, under Rasulullah's guidance, the first thing about his Quran was what? The first thing about this Quran was that it was in chronological order. And I tell you, if all of you go back tonight and you Google chronological order of Quran, you will all be able to begin to notice that the way you reflect on history becomes easy. Let me give you an example. The 11th surah of the Quran to be revealed was Surah Al-Duha. وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. When you read that surah, you look at it, says, by the daybreak and the night when it falls, your Lord has not left you, nor has He forsaken you. When you look at that surah, I know straight away, when I look at the tafsir, that surah refers to Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, the sister of Abu Sufyan, who, when Rasulullah wasn't getting wahi every day, you see, at the beginning, the wahi was coming quick and fast. Then there was a period where there was a break in the wahi. Yes? So what Jamil started going around and saying is, Muhammad's Lord has forsaken him. He has left him astray. Correct or no? You see, what had happened was, she had said that Muhammad, Satan, does not come and help him. Allah revealed the verse, وَالضُحَى, by the daybreak, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and the night when it falls, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord never leaves you alone, nor does He forsake you. Why would Allah say Dhuha and Layl? Because there is a time for the morning, which is a time which is busy. And there's a time in the evening, which is a time for rest. Likewise, there's a time I give you wahi quickly, and there's a time I want you to rest. Then I will never make you forsaken, nor will I leave you alone. In other words, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, vitally with his Quran, the first thing he did was chronologically put all the surahs in the order they were revealed. That means, if I were to ask all of you, which surah do you think was the first surah he put after the Meccan surahs? Because you know, 86 surahs in the Quran are Meccan, 28 are Medinian, which brings the total of how many surahs? 114. 86 surahs of the Quran are revealed in Mecca. Logically, the first 13 years of his prophet was in Mecca. There's going to be more in Mecca than Medina. 28 are in Medina. What's the first surah to be revealed in Medina? The first to be revealed in Medina is Baqarah. Then after Baqarah, I would assume many of you, if you use your history, you'll know what could be the next surah. The next surah would be Anfal. Why? Anfal means booty of war. War, Badr, early Mecca. Correct or no? In other words, you found that the first thing Imam Ali's Quran had, chronological order. If you wanted to see the flow of the verses, he put them on chronology. The second thing he had, which caused major trouble. What is it? Imam Ali, next to every ayah of the Quran, would put down the names of who the ayah was revealed about. Here's the problem. Yes? Because what happens is, if I've collected this Quran, that means, if you imagine, my teacher is Rasulullah, correct? Of course, the examples are given but never measured. Say, my teacher is who? My teacher is the Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet tells me that an ayah has come down. What do I do next to the ayah? He tells me it's come down about this person. Write his name next to the ayah. Correct? When I write the person's name next to the ayah, if the person's done a good deed, then he'll be honored that his name is next to the ayah. Correct or no? As in, without a doubt, if now my name is next to an ayah of the Quran. Let me give you an example. If Imam Ali is writing the tafsir of Surah 17, verse 46, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ, give the nearest of your relatives their due. That verse was revealed in honor of Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That verse was revealed in honor of her. How? In that the Holy Prophet had said, after the incident of what? When the Jews of Fedak put their hand up, they put their hand up and they said that, you know what? Fedak, our land, you wanted Muhammad, have it. Because they saw Ali ibn Abi Talib annihilate them at Khaybar. They thought there's no point entering a skirmish with him. So they said, you can have our land. And when Rasulullah takes a piece of land without war, it comes under the Islamic economic heading of fay. Fay, he could distribute as he likes. Unlike Khums, where you've had a war and there's spoils. You found that when the Fedak was given to him, he gave it to Fatima. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, in the same way Khadija gave everything for Islam, give Fedak to Fatima in honor of what her mother gave the religion. Yes? Her mother gave everything towards the religion. So give it. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib would write next to that verse, he'd write, revealed about Fatima al-Zahra. Correct? So that's why this wouldn't be a problem, so that just in case anyone came later and they said that prophets of Allah don't leave inheritance, correct? Because you may get someone coming later on and saying that the prophets don't leave inheritance behind. There's no such thing as inheritance with Fedak. Fedak, we gave it to her 7AH. Inheritance is what you give after someone dies, not while they're alive. So next to the verse, he's written, this is for Fatima. Naturally, if me and Fatima have a dispute, I don't want that Quran, correct? Because that Quran exposes me. That Quran has the tafsir of the ayah next to the ayah. Let me give you another example. Surah 68, verse 3. Utullin ba'da dhalika zanim. Yes? He is someone cruel and at the same time of illegitimate birth. If that ayah is revealed, I'm next to Rasulullah. So when the ayah is revealed, Rasulullah is going to tell me straight away, what's the name of the person? So when the ayah was revealed, it was revealed about Walid ibn al-Mughira. Yes? Walid ibn al-Mughira was the aristocrat of Arabia. The judge of judges. His slaves used to own a qantar. A qantar is like, you know, you get the bull, the skin of the bull. If you put gold inside it, they call it the qantar. Each one of them used to own a qantar. Walid ibn al-Mughira is the man who, when Rasulullah, when he heard the Arabic of the Quran, those of you who heard my majlis night 12 in Africa this year, would have heard about the Quran and the miracle of the Arabic. You would have heard that this Walid ibn al-Mughira was obstinate. He is the one who came out and said that this is the word of a magician. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. Walid ibn al-Mughira was the one who said, these are just the words of a magician. That Walid ibn al-Mughira, arrogant of the arrogant, correct? Rasulullah, when Allah exposed him, you know what he said? He said, we gave him children, we gave him wealth. But a person like him of illegitimate birth doesn't appreciate things like this, yes? A person like him doesn't. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib would write next to the ayah. What would he write? Walid ibn al-Mughira. Problem. Why? Because if your son is part of the ruling party, you don't want your dad to be called son of zina. Because Khalid ibn al... You see, you put the jigsaw pieces all together, everything becomes clear for you. Yes? One of the two who attacked the door. Him and Mughira bin Sha'bah. They pushed the door on the daughter of Rasulullah. And there's others, we don't need to. When you see the name next to the Quran, next to the verse, naturally that Khalid is part of the ruling authority. He doesn't want his dad to be called what? His dad is son of zina. Utullin ba'da dhalika zanim. This person means the son of zina. Ali ibn Abi Talib would write, but why is Ali ibn Abi Talib writing? Because he has a grudge? No! Ali ibn Abi Talib is writing next to the ayah so that just in case someone comes to ask, who is this ayah about? We don't get mistaken. We write exactly who it's about. Let me give you another example. The verse in the Quran, chapter 3, verse 144. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. The verse of the Quran, what does it say? Muhammad is but a messenger, and messengers have come before him. So if he dies or he is killed, you'll run away from the battlefield? Correct or no? That ayah, when it comes, as soon as someone runs away from the battlefield, correct or no? Rasulullah would tell Ali ibn Abi Talib, write the following names next to the ayah. Yes? That the following X and Y and Z, one of them ran, you know, they say his camel went for 2 days, it didn't stop, yes? This one ran, and that one ran, and the other one ran. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't just say they ran, no, because the ayah says they turned. Ali ibn Abi Talib's duty is to do what? Is to write the name. You write the name down, when you write the name down, of course, why are you writing? Because we want to have a balanced scale of haqq and batil, yes? We don't just let anyone come into power. The one who runs away from the battlefield is equal to the one at the front of the battlefield. The one who runs away is equal to that person who's laying his life for the religion of Islam. Imam would write his name right next to this. Let me give you another example. وَإِذَا سَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِ حَدِيثًا. The Prophet told one of his wives a secret, correct? But she went and told her friend, yes? So Rasulullah told her, why did you tell your friend? She replied to Rasulullah, who told you? Who told you? As in, he doesn't receive messages every day. Who told you? So he said to her that Allah, the Honorable, the Glorious, told me, correct? You see, that ayah, if I just look at it, I'm not sure. Prophet told wife, which wife, what secret, and so on. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib would write exactly which wife it is. Yes? He'd write, this wife told that wife. Of course, there's a problem that occurs here. What's the problem? Ali ibn Abi Talib is exposing everyone. Hassan, if you look at it, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he writes the order of the interpretation, the names that are being exposed, naturally these people, if after Rasulullah dies, they see their names, one's next to illegitimate, the others run away from the battlefield, the other one has a secret, then these people are going to be unhappy without a doubt. Further than that, next to the ayahs which are revealed about him, he clearly writes, this was revealed about me on that day. And that's a problem. Let me give you an example. Surah 5 verse 67. Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Wa lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata. Wallahi ya'simuka min an-nas. O Prophet of God, preach what has been bestowed upon you. And if you don't, then your message is incomplete. Yes? But Allah will protect you from people. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib would write next to the verse, this verse was revealed about me on the day of Ghadir. Correct or no? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told the Prophet to tell the people what? A message which if is not complete, then his message is incomplete at the same time. So when he writes all of this, what happened? After Rasulullah died, if you read Sunni and Shia literature, both of them clearly say, Ali ibn Abi Talib compiled the Quran in his house. He said, I will not leave the house until I compile the Quran. Which Quran did he compile? Not only was he of those who compiled the Quran we have with us today, but he compiled his Quran on the order of chronology and with the interpretation next to him. When this Quran came out, you think this Quran was accepted or no? As in when he presented it to the people, he said to them, O people, this Quran I want to present to you as a supplement to the Quran you have. So if